Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of GTE Professional Network Radio. I'm your host, Ed Peterson. Today's date, ladies and gentlemen, is February the 12th, 2016, as we are continuing on our growth series for the month of February. We're going to have a special show today in reference to topics and reference in our communities and what we are going to do to be participants. No matter where you are in the country, you want to be a participant within your community where you reside. We're going to have a great show today. We have a special guest on our show today, Ms. Marcel Allen, and we're going to talk about the Flint, Michigan water crisis that's going on to date. And I think everybody has already seen and heard about what's going on there. There's been a lot of support given, helping out there, and we're really thankful for the people who are continuing to show support and doing what they're supposed to do to make sure that we're having some safety issues that reference to clean water. Now, this shouldn't be going on. I think it shouldn't be going on in this day and time that we live in today. With all the technology we have and all the things that's going on in America, why is this happening now? Well, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to give Ms. Allen the opportunity to share her side of the story and what she's doing in participating and helping out as well in that state. Which is covering the Flint, Michigan, which covers about over 100,000, close to 100,000 people that live there in that city. So we want to be talking about that. And please, if you have any questions, guys, we can chat with us. We're online right now, live. You can chat with us, and you can go to our on our calls if you want to tune in. You can call in to our guest call-in, which is 909-202-8717. We're going to be talking about a lot of great topics throughout this year, 2016. What is our goal for this year? And what are you doing right now that's going to be impactful within the community where you reside? As a small businesses, churches, and nonprofit organizations, if you plan on having any one of these entities, you want to make sure you're participating within the community where you are and making sure that your voice is being heard out there today. And this is what this platform is all about here at GTE Professional Network Radio. I am so excited about the opportunities that we have to date to help each other. It's all about collaborating and co-oping together, how we network, how we build up our children, how we help each other, how we help our businesses, churches, and nonprofit organizations, and what we're doing in the communities each and every day to support each other as we continue to support ourselves. So with that, I'm going to give Ms. Allen the opportunity to speak and talk in reference to what's going on up there in Flint, Michigan, and just giving her side of the story. And just, guys, I want you to tune into this and give support where you see fit. Get out of your hearts to help out where you want. And, guys, this is a great opportunity for everybody to participate and do things great that's really helping out a lot of people that's definitely in need. This, again, guys, is something we all can do. And she'll go over that with us and give us some ideas on what we can be doing as well to participate. I'm so excited to have her on the show. I heard about her from another friend of mine, Mr. Crystal Stiles, in reference to that out of course, Dallas, Texas. I'm in Houston, Texas. And we are basically going to be participating no matter where you are in the country. You want to make sure you participate. So with that further ado, I want to bring her on the board. Ms. Allen, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you well and loud and clear. Welcome.
Oh.
And thank you for being on
okay.
Our special guest on our show. I'm really excited about you talking with us today and our radio listeners in reference to what's going on and what we can do to help you out and support you in reference to your cause and what you're doing currently right now to date.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm honored to be on the show and be able to speak with everyone. Right now, I am leading the charge on our GoFundMe site. So this all started when I went with a friend in mid-September to deliver water. We went to a church and we went into the neighborhood and we actually went to the Michael Moore rally and opened the back of the truck and handed out water to people who were just really desperate for water. And I've done relief work in Haiti before, so I've never even imagined having to hand out water in America. I know what it's like to have to do relief work in extremely impoverished conditions. So this is definitely something that I think people need to understand. It's very desperate here in Flint. I started the GoFundMe page the day after I handed out water, and within a day, I think I hit $1,000, which was my initial goal. We had reached about $30,000 when GoFundMe started the competition and said anybody who has started a campaign for the Flint water crisis and can raise the most money between January 22nd and the 29th would receive an additional $10,000 from GoFundMe. I reached out to my friends and they started all on campaign, almost like it was like the art of war on social media. And we actually won the campaign, so we won the additional $10,000 last week. So today I was actually prepping. Thank you. Today I was actually prepping for our second distribution. I'm going out with the UAW Local 6000 here in Michigan, and we are distributing water. The difference between me and a lot of the other campaigns is that a lot of the other campaigns are delivering water to locations. So they're taking them to churches. They're taking them to the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan, which is the largest food bank in the country, actually here in Flint, or to the American Red Cross. I have boots on the ground. So I always have a team of volunteers of no less than about 20 or 30 people, and we actually go door to door, similar to what the National Guard and the military was doing when they were here. Now that they're not here, we're actually the only ones going door to door until they come back, and we're not sure when they're coming back. But there are a lot of people in Flint who can't get to the distribution centers. You have mothers with children. You have the sick, the elderly. So we hit those neighborhoods. We make sure that we get to them. People have to understand that 40% of Flint is impoverished. And a lot of people do not have the opportunity to get jobs. There are no jobs here. There's no grocery stores in Flint. So I need your listeners to understand that imagine being in a place where there is not one single grocery store. There are no jobs here. So for 100,000 people, there's no grocery store. There are no jobs. And it's a very depressed town, but they are a very resilient people. People here in Flint are very resilient, and we've stuck together, and I think that's what's inspired me the most to keep going. So the GoFundMe page is still up. We're at $51,000, and I'm not going to shut the page down until they replace the pipes, because that's what people want. They want the pipes replaced. So our goal is to get fresh, clean water out to the masses. I'm not sure if you all get the news that we're getting, but, you know, you have children who have not bathed since October. So
we've heard some reports about that.
We're also distributing baby wipes tomorrow. So we're in it for the long haul. And I mean, I've received donations from Kenya, from Scotland, from all over the world. So people understand what's going on here in Flint. And unfortunately, this is a trend across the country. I mean, native indigenous lands have been poisoned for, and we know that lead poisoning is rampant throughout Louisiana and actually different places in Ohio and throughout the Midwest. So this isn't new, but I believe that it was the way that it was done that has garnered so much media attention.
That's what really got my attention on reading the news reports and all that, and just talking with a few people, because I'm originally from Chicago, so I know about that. Mm-hmm. And my sister suffered from lead poisoning when she was a kid, so I can definitely relate to that and see exactly what are we doing and how did this even, what was the decision of these politicians in the city to just go ahead and switch their reserves to try to save money. I mean, that is just really outrageous to me, because you're looking at people's lives that now has been affected by one man's decision or decision of a body that really wasn't paying any attention to the sounding bell that was going off saying, hey, is this water safe to drink? And to tell you, we have great lakes because, you know, in Chicago we got Lake Michigan. You guys got Lake Huron.
Right.
There's Lake.
We got Lake Michigan.
So, yeah, you know, so I'm trying to figure this out. I mean, it just really missed, it got my attention because I know well that whoever the decision makers are in that city, and I see a lot of people have stepped down from the EPA and all these other guys that was up there, and I'm just reading about this, and it's like, what in the world were they thinking? And what gave them the power to just go ahead and switch it out like that? I guess the mayor, the former mayor stated what he stated, but I'm like, this should not be happening in America. This should not be happening in 2016, the new year, just starting the new year off. We're talking about something that should have been remedied 5 years ago and prepped to making sure everybody has safe and clean water. And in America, we shouldn't have that. If we help in other countries, we shouldn't be the ones affected. And so I'm excited about that you're doing what you're doing, and just hearing this just really is just it's frustrating, and you notice it's always the lower income areas that get hit the hardest or the worst in the country. Why is that? What are we doing to help each other? And this is where I love about the network. It takes a group of people or something dramatic to happen for change to happen. This should have happened before all of this took place. Now we talk about lives that's been affected, and the children that are suffering from lead poisoning is exponential now.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, as far as the network's concerned, I think that it's done to poor communities because people feel like we don't have a voice. And whenever you can save money, that's the first community you target. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was very plain in her language when she said, this wouldn't have happened in Grosse Pointe. Grosse Pointe is a very wealthy suburb of Detroit. It wouldn't have happened in Birmingham, which is just as wealthy. They're just on opposite sides of the city. So a lot of it stems back to the emergency manager law. And, you know, the citizens of Michigan voted it down, and then they tweaked some of the language, and Governor Snyder signed it in. And the emergency manager basically takes over. So it takes away democracy. I mean, you voted for a mayor, but an emergency manager comes in and has all the say. The former mayor of Flint was right there next to the emergency manager when they switched the water, and they were, you know, drinking glasses of water that were probably poured out of bottles. But the current mayor that we have now, Dr. Karen Weaver, is the best thing to happen to Flint in a long time. She is a very seasoned professional who's not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why people really respect her. The people of Flint trust her with their lives, and they've had to. And so I think I can't see anybody else in that position right now other than Dr. Weaver. But I think a lot of this is going to boil down to, you know, we have a lot of infighting. You know, people across the country, everybody wants to get credit for something. Somebody has to swallow their pride and hop on the bandwagon so that we can all come together and fight what's happening to these poor communities. You know, Blacks and Native Americans have to come together because it's happening to our communities. I mean, you can go on any reservation, and I can guarantee you, if you test the water, they're being poisoned, and they've been poisoned a lot longer than we have.
Right.
And that's starting to come out now because now they're, you know, they've swallowed their pride, and they're jumping on the bandwagon of what's happening with Flint, and now you're starting to see articles pop up about how different reservations are being poisoned and how they've been fighting it for years, but no one's been listening. Well, when all of our voices come together, it's very hard to shout over a united voice. And if you have people who are united, you know, no matter what color they are, if they're, you know, this is a class issue because people have to keep in mind that Flint is 60% Black. But you have a lot of whites in Flint who are being affected by this. And some of the most outspoken people who have been boots on the ground since you know, this happened 2 years ago, have been white. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this. I've never seen this as a race issue. Of course, we are. It is a majority black city, but this is a class issue. This is wealthy versus poor. And there is a wealthy
right.
because there are people who are poor, and that's how the wealthy make their money. And that's how they were able to save money. They decided to save money by cutting us off the Detroit water system. I don't know if people realize this, but Detroit has one of the most complex, one of the most well-known water systems in the world. I know for
correct.
A fact that people from all over the world come to Detroit to actually study its water system. So to me, when I heard that Flint was going to leave the water system before I even moved to Flint, I knew it was a bad idea. I never knew what was going to happen, but I knew it was really
right.
stupid to do that, because if you don't
right.
have to leave Detroit's water system, you should not leave Detroit's water system. I grew up feeling very safe drinking out of the water holes. Many kids do. And I would go to any house now and go play basketball with my cousins and still drink out of the water holes in Detroit, because I know that I can trust the water. You can't do that anywhere else. And I don't think people also understand the psychological damage that's been done. You know,
yeah.
you have generations of people who will probably not only suffer mentally and intellectually, but I can see lots of people getting diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, specifically mothers
mm-hmm.
who are having to fight this battle because of their children. I mean, children are being poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And just yesterday, now they're saying that the lead poisoning has probably led to, God knows how many, miscarriages. So this thing
wow.
continues to grow. And it continues to get bigger and bigger, and I just hope that people around the world and around the country specifically, because this is our country, realize how severe this is. You know, just because you're halfway across the country does not mean that this cannot be your child. This could be your child.
Right.
The child
exactly.
that's on the cover of the Time magazine with the sores
mm-hmm.
on his body, that could be your child. And I think if everybody closed their eyes and imagine giving their child lead, and what their reaction would be, I think the voices would be a lot louder. And you really can't stop a united voice. And I think that's what's important right now.
I agree with you 100%. And what you stated is very impactful and powerful in reference to that. It's not just the children that we hear about. Everybody can participate. Everybody can help out and give. Where it's necessary, because if it happens to Flint, it can happen to any other area in the country. Think about that.
Yep.
What happens if somebody else decides to switch the water system, or because of the economic challenges that these guys are going through? But what about the job creation? What about all of the things? Remember what happened when we talked about the automotive industry and how they got bailed out and all of these different things that's been going on. So why couldn't we do that with the cities that was in the surrounding areas that needed that? And where's that money really going? And to who is it given? You see, so it's a lot of
mm-hmm.
things that
mm-hmm.
we need to be addressing here. And these are just this is the end result of that decision. And so we have to step up, like you said. Our voice has to be heard, and there has to be somebody sounding a loud bell out here in reference to what's being being on disadvantaged areas where we need to be supporting them areas and giving out what we
mm-hmm,
need.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know you guys did not have a grocery store in Flint. Shocking to me. I mean, because I know all these
There's actually a bus. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say there's actually a bus that takes the elderly to the grocery store in another city. You got 100,000 people in no grocery store. And that's what I'm trying to explain. People don't understand just how bad it is. It's like people think Michigan, they think Detroit. And I had talked to another radio show host down in Texas who said.
Some areas in Detroit, you know, people know about. But when you hear about that, we heard about Flint, Michigan once upon a time back in the day. But nobody really said much about Flint. The blinders have been pulled off now from the eyes of the people and the public. Now everybody's understanding. We didn't know Flint was going through all this. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No clue.
Yeah, and I'm glad, you know, I think a lot of what's happened, a lot of this kind of started with Cher going on Twitter and making some noise and making a specific comment about Governor Snyder. And I think that's what kind of woke people up, because people really didn't know what was happening. And then
right.
it just took off from there. So, you know, luckily we had a celebrity who was a voice. and we've had several celebrities come into Flint, and they sneak in, they meet with the mayor, they see what they can do long term. You know, I'm anxious to see what Jada Pinkett Smith is going to do, because we all grew up off of her on A Different World, and I know she's got a great heart, and she wants to do something long term. She's not saying we're just going to dump water one day and walk away. She wants to do something long term, and she wants it to be her entire family. So I'm really anxious to see what she's thinking about doing. And you know, we've had a lot of people come in and help, but people have to understand that until these pipes are replaced, no one's drinking the water. People don't even feel comfortable washing their hands in the water. You know, imagine going to your kitchen sink and not being able to wash your hands, or you know, to be kind of raw about it, you know, going to the restroom and not being able to wash your hands because you don't trust the water, and having to go to go to another room because you want to get the water out of the filter, or using a bottle of water to wash your hands. I mean, people don't understand the gravity of this. This is a very desperate situation. And,
very desperate,
I'm anxious to see how people handle it and how people respond.
Right. Yeah, because the water crisis, and you know, we've heard about pollution with water back in the day in certain other little towns across this country. I've read reports about it. I knew what happened up in Chicago when we talked about lead and all of the things that went on with the pipes. They had to replace the pipes. Well, the pipes froze and burst. That was the only reason why they had to replace the pipes there, because they froze. And so when you look at all of the different things that needed to be done, based on whoever the city officials at that time, it seemed like it's a repetitiveness that they're looking to cut costs. Well, you can't put a dollar on the price of a life, period. And you should not want to do that, and that should not even be up for discussion. It should be simple and plain. It needs to be replaced. But where's the money coming from? There is funding, government contracts that they could have gotten to help out on that cause, just like with the bridges, just like with the infrastructure of the roads. All of these have monies that they could have grabbed to help out if that was really necessary, if that was something they was really looking at doing. But, it's frustrating to me, and I'm saying it out there like that, ladies and gentlemen, because it is something that should not have never taken place from this jump street. There should have been a remedied 5 years ago. And because of the fact that it's taken people long to see the real rudiments of it, and thank God for the new mayor and for what she's done and putting it out there, because I've seen her out in the public's view and actually in the streets with the people who have suffered. And to talk about that and hear about what the doctors are saying in Flint about the children lead levels have doubled, it's unheard of. Where in the country have we had that ever happen? And why is it happening now? So now this is the time for us to really take down all of these false guys that should not be in place if they're not competent enough to do the right thing. They need to be out of office, period. And that's something that needs to be done swiftly and immediately. And thank God for President Obama I want to thank his administration for that, for giving relief aid to Flint, the city of Flint, as a disaster area. But it should not have taken this. This should have been happened at the governor's level. It should happen at the mayor's level. It should happen at all of the levels that are, and then the CDC should not have had to come in and do what they had to do when there was already officials there stating what was wrong.
Yeah.
So, again, these are the things that I'm talking about that we need to address, ladies and gentlemen, in reference to helping each other and letting the facts be known. And, you know, documentation do be conversation. And so if we note these things and we do the right thing, that could save a lot of lives. And job creation, stores, businesses need to come to Flint. There need to be growth in businesses in Flint, period. We need to have something like that. And the public transportation system, all of these things, systems that should be already in place in towns, especially of a town of that size, 100,000 people.
Right.
There are other cities smaller than that have great all over the place that I've seen across this country, and I've traveled. But it's unusual to see that this has been going on, Ms. Allen, and I really commend you for your long-term effort, because I want to be in the fight with you guys in reference to that, and we're going to have you back on the show to talk about what we're doing and the growth thereof and the participation of the people across this country. I want you to give out the GoFundMe information so people can continue to fund that. The pipes have to be replaced, ladies and gentlemen. That's the whole bottom line goal. We need to replace these pipes. And not only that, they need to have a better infrastructure of their water supply, water system. Just like Detroit has, we need to have something there for Flint. So go ahead, Ms. Allen.
Yeah,
you can share with us on that.
Thank you. My GoFundMe page is called Water for Flint, and it's easily identifiable. I'm standing there with two gentlemen, one of whom is sitting down, and we're actually all in blue. But the website is GoFundMe.com, 5GJ, N as in Nancy, S, BBC. So 5, G as in Go, J as in J, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, B as in Boy, B as in Boy, C as in Cat. And you can also find us, anybody can locate me on Twitter. My name is spelled M-A-R-S-E-I-L-L-E, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, and Periscope. And we're actually going live tomorrow morning. So if you follow me on Twitter, you find me on Periscope. You can find us on Facebook, find me on Facebook. I actually post pictures, and there's actually a Water for Flint page on Facebook where you can see updated articles as well as pictures, and I just actually posted a video this afternoon of them loading the water and the baby wipes into the truck. So, you know, and that's why, you know, people always want to know, well, where's the money going? Where's the money going? We show you everything
Thank you.
About
it. Thank
because,
you,
trust me, I'm a state employee, actually, and Governor Snyder technically is my boss. He actually had me come out with him yesterday and sort through cans of food at the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan. So he's actually my boss, and he actually committed me. I know what he's going through. He knows what I'm going through as a Flint citizen, but we're both Michigan citizens, and we both are trying our best to give back to the community. I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. I got out of politics a long time ago, so my concern is making sure that, you know, until he and his staff make the right decision, and, of course, we all know what the right decision is.
Exactly.
I make sure I play my role as a citizen of Flint to get people clean water. So, you know, feel free to join us. Again, we're on Periscope. The spelling of my name is M-A-R-S as in Sam, E-I-L-L-E. Last name is Allen. And you can follow us on Twitter, follow me on Periscope, and we're going live tomorrow morning. Our delivery actually starts around 10 o'clock, but we'll probably you know, do some scenes on Periscope before that so that people can see, you know, the whole process of what we do. And it's, I know you guys in Texas, your listeners are probably all over, but tomorrow's supposed to be the coldest day in February. We had a snowstorm today, but that didn't stop us. We still loaded the truck. We're still going out tomorrow.
Right.
And because it's important. You know, weather can't stop us. We have to make sure that people get clean water.
I'm going to have you back on the show. Again, Ms. Allen, to continue the progression of this. And, you know, as we celebrate Black History Month, this is also leap year. We were talking about our inventors and things that we've created and put together. And I, because I have my background is electronics, my degree is electronics, and I've worked for a lot of big companies, and even now with my own business, as a business owner, I just wanted to make sure that the listeners and everybody in the country, across the country know. I work with a lot of small businesses, churches, and nonprofit organizations across the country to help them build and grow their network in the area where they do business. It's a great opportunity right here, Ms. Allen, for as a citizen of Flint and a citizen of Michigan to help create that for the people of Michigan and Flint. So that's something that I'm willing to work with you on extensively on to help put some businesses out there, job creation out there, something that we can do to bring up the awareness and bring up the growth of the people there in Flint.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And thank you again for tuning in for this show. Thank you as a special guest, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, you've heard it. I'm really excited about the opportunity that we can do to participate. So I want you guys to do your due diligence and give. As we continue to put forth our efforts to help out as well. I'll be donating as well on the GoFundMe page as well, Ms. Allen, so I'm participating in with you along with everyone else and this is going to be a continued long term. So thank you, guys. I'm out, and my time is up already. It seems like we could talk about this forever, but I want to make sure everybody gets the information that they need to continue to support the people of Flint, and I'm really excited about you guys' efforts and already participating with us and following the show on a continual basis. So with that, it's going to be a plum pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege from my brother Les Brown. Until then, keep, guys, the faith and keep building the dream.